Hello, and welcome to the Mind Fitness Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Ursh, and my role as your mentor is to help fuel, feed, and grow your brain to enable you to live your best life. That's right, I want to help you create your life by design. As the owner of New Zealand's longest running women's gym and health and wellness coach for over 22 years, I've had the privilege of helping thousands of women transform their bodies. And what I've learnt is the key to all success starts with transforming your thinking. My mission for this podcast is to enlighten and brighten your day. Welcome to our very first episode of the Mind Fitness Mentor Podcast. I really want to dedicate my first ever podcast to my amazing wife, who has been my biggest cheerleader, my rock, my strength, and my everything for the past 20 years. And she's going to be editing this, so God knows if we'll still be together at the end. So today, what we're going to be talking about is me. It's all about me. The good, the bad, and the fugly. So what I want to share with you is my journey over the past 12 months and the lessons that I've learned along the way. And trust me, there have been many. I'm curious, have you ever had a roadblock in your life and been forced to pivot and move in a direction you never imagined you would? Maybe you've had a breakup. Maybe you've had a breakdown. Maybe you've had a breakthrough. Maybe you've lost your job, lost a loved one, or lost your identity, or maybe you've been unwell, stuck and frustrated, and feel like you're lost in the world and don't know what to do. If you can relate to any of this, then I get you. I feel you. I am you. Because 12 months ago, my whole world came to a grinding halt, and it made me stop everything, and I had to reassess my whole life. When something like this happens, it makes you prioritize the things that are important, which means you have to give some things up. You have to be okay with the unknown and trust that everything is happening for you, not to you. Don't think this will be a walk in the park. Sometimes, in fact, most times, when life-changing events happen, we feel a lack of control. We feel confused. We feel frustrated. And we tend to blame ourselves. And sometimes we blame other people. And quite often, we can struggle with a loss of identity, as was the case with me. So let's rewind 15 months. And all this started because I couldn't do a frickin' burpee. Now, I know what you're thinking. Lucky you. However, I like burpees. And seriously, I just started this challenge at the gym, and one of the exercises was a burpee. And I had so much pain in my wrist, I wasn't able to complete the sets. In fact, as I think back to that time around 15 months ago, I really struggled. I couldn't even jog around the building without getting totally out of breath. I actually couldn't understand what was wrong with me. I thought, am I lazy? Am I old? Am I unfit? I couldn't understand what was wrong with me. Nothing was making sense. So jump forward 6 weeks, and I'd been to quite a few physios. I'd played by the rules and I'd done everything they'd said. Yes, I am that patient. Well, at least most of the time. I'd been wearing my wrist braces and doing my exercises only to find now that I had pain in my shoulder and my ankle as well. The pain was escalating and so was my frustration. I'd wake up some mornings not able to push myself up out of bed and my wife had to pull me up like a patient. I felt pathetic, angry and discouraged. I remember I had days just sitting on the toilet and literally rocking. I would cry from the intense pain. And because we're all friends here, it might be a little bit way too much information. But to be honest, I had no idea how I was going to wipe myself after I had a pee, let alone stand up. It was a pretty challenging time for me. In fact, thinking about that time is bringing back a lot of emotion for me. The struggle was real. So I'm curious, have you ever been in a position where you have not felt yourself, low in energy, frustrated, and completely lost for answers? Maybe you were struggling with menopause right now, or your anxiety is out of control, or maybe like me, your health isn't great. And maybe you thought it was all in your head, and maybe had the courage to finally share what was going on for you, and you were not heard. And if this happened to you, I am so sorry. Because as women, we all tend to put our needs last. Unfortunately, it is the sad truth. It's how we've been raised. Putting your needs first can make you feel weak, and it means that you're not coping. And most women actually ignore their needs, especially over their families. You know, we can feel alone, unheard, and it can feel like no one actually gives a shit. So you start to withdraw and you start to hide. I don't know about you, but this was me. And I run a business. I have a team that relies on me. I have clients that rely on me. I have members that rely on me. And to be honest, they are used to seeing me a certain way. I am high energy and I am the motivation queen. And let's just say, when you will hear me way before you will see me. I was struggling to rock up in that role. My pain was getting a lot worse. My fatigue was to the point that I was sleeping 4 hours in the middle of the day, and that was after sleeping 12 hours at night. And now I was struggling to remember words and to finish sentences. I was mortified that I couldn't be me. And this is when I started to hide. Maybe you can relate. So when the pain eventually moved to my face, I decided it's time to get to the doctor. Nothing I had been doing was working, and the symptoms were getting worse. Interestingly, she diagnosed me with myofascial neuralgia. That's a nerve pain in the jaw area. She had no concerns with my wrists, no concern with my ankle, no concern with my shoulder pain, no concern with the spider veins that were getting worse on my legs either, no concern that my stools had started to change colour. Yes, we even got there. I guess I better warn you, it's going to be one of those podcasts. We're going to have those moments that we're going to share stuff and you're going to be like, what? Did she just really share that? It's going to be that podcast. You're also going to hear the F word. Maybe not today, but trust me, it's going to come up. So this is where my medication began. I was given two lots of medication. One was a nerve blocker called gabapentin, and one was an antidepressant. And if I was struggling before the doctor, once I started taking these medications, I went down like a ton of bricks. I wasn't able to complete any sentences. My sleeping habits went from 12 hours during the night, 4 hours during the day, to 6 and 8 hours during the day. My speech became really slow, really slurred. My sentences were incomplete, and I couldn't even remember the names of members. It was embarrassing. I was mortified. And it made me feel stupid. It made me feel like something was really wrong. It made me feel like I had something wrong with my brain. The medication actually took me into a really dark place. Now, about 30 years ago, I'd struggled really badly with panic and anxiety and agoraphobia. And for the first time in 30 years, I felt myself going back down that black hole. I wasn't able to function. I wasn't able to think clearly. In fact, the thoughts that I was having were really scary. I even remember walking onto incoming traffic 2 or 3 times. I cancelled staff meetings, I cancelled appointments, and I made sure that I booked my clients 30 minutes apart because I had a problem standing up. I couldn't even stand up without holding onto a bar. I couldn't stand up without holding onto a piece of equipment. And what I noticed was when I was standing under light, my eyes were getting really affected. I started getting blurry vision. I started squinting. And I was freezing. I was so cold. I was struggling with hot temperatures, and I was struggling with cold temperatures. I decided it was best to come off the antidepressants. I didn't know the purpose that the antidepressants were serving at the time, but what I did know is I really hated who I was becoming. They were making me really sleepy. They were making me really tired. They were making me a person that I didn't even recognize anymore. I was flat, I was numb, and something had to change because I just didn't trust myself going back into that world of anxiety, that world of panic, and that world of fear. It actually got so bad that I was really worried about my mental well-being and my mental state. So I asked Sam to come to the doctor with me. I didn't trust what I was going to say, and I didn't trust myself to be able to have a conversation, a real conversation with the doctor, to share with the doctor what was going on for me. I actually took a list. I took a list of questions because I didn't trust who I was, and I didn't think that when I was in the room, I'd be capable to have a conversation with her. When I look back now, I was actually really scared. I was really frail. I'd lost some weight. I'd lost my appetite. I was shaking, and I had no idea who I was being. I had no idea. I just didn't even recognize that person. And for everybody that knows me, I'm certainly not that person. I can easily go to a doctor's appointment. I can easily be in confrontation with anyone over anything. And now here I was, struggling with my mental well-being, not able to make decisions, not even able to attend a doctor's appointment for fear of her not listening to me, for fear of her not seeing what was happening, for fear of her calling me a liar, for fear of her disrespecting and disregarding what I was going through. That doctor's visit was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And I remember sitting in that chair. She just didn't even look at me. She just asked me 3 or 4 questions and that was it. And she said, you need to double your medication. And when she said that, I almost had tears in my eyes. And I said, I can't double my medication. I'm not coping now. I've cancelled my staff meetings. I can't go into work. I've stopped teaching my classes. I'm sleeping 6 to 8 hours a day. If you double my medication, you're going to have to put me on the sickness benefit. I'm having thoughts that I shouldn't be having. And I don't know if you know this, doctor, but my past was not pretty. And when I struggled with anxiety and depression and agoraphobia before, it was a 2-year struggle. And I feel like I'm going down the same pathway. I'm scared to up the medication. She totally dismissed every question I asked her. She didn't even hear what I said about my previous past. She didn't even appear to care that my mental well-being was at stake. I didn't feel heard. I felt like I was a liar, and I felt like I was making stuff up in my own head. I started to self-doubt myself. My confidence was at an all-time low. She proceeded to tell me that I needed to suck it up and that this would take anywhere between 14 to 18 months before I would actually get any result, and that I had no choice but to double that medication. And that was the end of the doctor's visit. That's the last time I saw her. After that visit, me and Sam hopped into the car and I just sat in the car and I just bawled my eyes out. I just collapsed. I collapsed in the seat, still in the car park at the doctor's surgery. And I just looked at Sam and I said, I can't do this. I actually cannot live my life knowing that I'm going to be sleeping all day, knowing that when I see myself in the mirror, I don't look well, knowing that I had another year to go through exactly what I'd been through. I just didn't have it in me. And I said to her, I just don't have the fight for this. I just can't do it. I can't be that person. I can't go through life wondering if mentally I could keep myself safe. For those of you that have experienced this, I know you get it. For those of you that haven't been through it, let me tell you, it fucking sucks. And it's scary as fuck. When we got home, I just went straight to bed. I was exhausted. I couldn't believe, once again, she wasn't listening to me. But this time Sam had been there and Sam had said to me, she just totally disrespected you, babe. She didn't even listen to what you had to say. And I said, look, I have to sleep. And she said, we are not going to take any more medication. From today, that's it. You're not doing it. And there was a part of me that said, I have to keep doing it. There was a part of me that wanted to play by the rules. There was a part of me that was scared to go back to the pain. But I knew that I had to come off that medication. I just couldn't make the call. You see, I was really weak. And when I say I was weak, I was mentally weak. I was physically weak. I can't even remember one time in my life where I physically felt that broken. The very next day, we were at a function of friends of ours, and we were outside in the sun, and my wife turned around in front of everybody and said, babe, why do you look so yellow? And I remember thinking, fuck, she knows. I've been busted. People now know. People can now see. And it's something that I'd been trying to hide for at least a month. because I knew something was wrong. I knew when I looked in the mirror, my eyes were not clear. I knew that my skin color had started to change color. I just had not connected the dots. On the drive home, I sort of joked about it. I wanted to dismiss it. I didn't want it to be obvious to everybody. I didn't want to be that person to draw attention to myself. However, I knew that my wife wouldn't let it go. So I got her the next morning to ring Dad and ask him, what does a patient look like with jaundice? What does jaundice mean? What does jaundice mean? What do I need to do? Now I knew that it was bad because I wouldn't even go on video to see him. I wouldn't allow him to see the condition that I was in. And at the time, my mum was in Australia, staying with Sam's mum and dad. And I definitely didn't want my mum to see me. I was frail and I was embarrassed. I didn't want anyone to be concerned. And I didn't want to be told that what I was going through was really all in my head. So when Sam took the phone call, I ran downstairs and I just hid in the bathroom and I was shaking. And I remember looking in the mirror thinking, do I have jaundice or is this all in my head? Am I really sick or am I making this up? Is there actually anything wrong with me or am I going back to panic and anxiety? Lucky for me, Sam came downstairs and Dad said, we have to get you to A&E right now. I still remember that day and it brings tears to my eyes when I share this with you now. You know what? It was really fucking hard. I remember saying to Sam, what happens if the doctor doesn't believe me? What happens if once again I'm basically being called a liar? My self-doubt goes up. My confidence goes down. I don't even want to hop in the car. I was shaking and I said, I just can't go to the doctor today. Nobody believes me. The contributing factor was when Sam told me, your mother's also been on the phone. She's pissed off that you're not going to get on the phone so she can see you. And she said, Samantha. And when our parents say our full name, we know shit's real, right? She said, Samantha, if you do not get my daughter to A&E today, you kindly tell her that I will be back on a plane this afternoon. I don't know about you, but if it's a choice between showing up for a doctor's appointment or having my mum on my case and get on a plane and come back to New Zealand, whew, I'm definitely heading to that doctor's office. So when we arrived at the doctor's office, Sam just grabbed me around the waist and we went into the doctor and I sat on the chair. I was exhausted. I was so exhausted. I couldn't even look at him. I'd been wearing sunglasses 24/7 and I just looked at the floor and Sam had to do the talking. I was shaking and he turned around and he said to me, how long have you had jaundice for? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that he could see that I had jaundice. I couldn't believe after all this time, someone actually said it. I was scared, but I was also relieved. Someone actually believed me. There was actually a condition. I actually had a label. And now we could find out what we could do to get better. So he was pretty strict. He popped me on the bed. He did all the tests. He then ordered urgent tests, 32 blood tests that I needed to get done that day. Whew, shit just got real. I guess at that stage I wasn't really scared. I didn't really know what was happening. All I did know was after all this time, someone believed me and what I'd been thinking about was actually real. It wasn't in my head. It definitely wasn't in my head. He could see it. And now I knew that it was real. So things happened pretty quickly from here. I got my blood test results back on the Monday and I was with the specialist on the Thursday. So I had a CT scan booked for the Monday and I had to do 3 blood tests every week. So the CT scan really freaked me out. I mean, I don't like the hospitals at the best of times. And what he said he was looking for was 2 things. One, whether the tubes going to my liver had a blockage in them, or 2, whether he was trying to rule out cancer. I remember when I was sitting in the consult room with him, when he was speaking and I was watching his lips and I just thought, how the fuck did we get here? So for the next couple of weeks, I just kept hiding and I just avoided being at work. I would hide in my office and I would sit there with my sunglasses on. I was shaking for no reason. I mean, it was the middle of summer nearly, and everybody was wearing singlets and t-shirts, and I had 3 layers of clothing on and my fingerless gloves. I was frozen, and I just pretended that everything was okay. I didn't tell my staff that anything was wrong. I didn't tell my clients that anything was wrong. And any time I had to make eye contact with a client in front of the mirror, I would do it without the lights behind me. I was embarrassed. I was really embarrassed. I was mortified that here I am, a health professional, someone who tells other people what to do to look after their health. And here I am with this condition that I had absolutely no control over. Who was I to be able to tell people what to do and how to do it when I couldn't even focus on my own health? I felt like a failure and I felt like a fraud. I was humiliated, I was embarrassed, and I was defeated. I really started isolating myself and I really started hiding. I'd stopped attending staff meetings because I was embarrassed I couldn't put words together. I was embarrassed because I couldn't form sentences. And I was getting my blood test sent to my phone 3 times a week. I knew shit was bad. And not only was I embarrassed, not only did I feel like a failure, but I was shamed. I was living in shame. My whole world had now turned to shame and fear. Every blood test would bring about panic. Every result would bring about panic. And every time my phone rang, I was scared it was my specialist and he'd also seen the results of my blood tests. And then it happened, that phone call that says, you've got to go to hospital. And so I went to hospital. I didn't know why I was going to hospital, but he told me I had to urgently go to hospital. So I arrived there. I was shaking. I was nervous. I was anxious. I could barely stand up. And I just took a seat and collapsed in the seat. And they tried to put an IV in my arm, and it took them over 30 minutes to be able to do it. Because I don't know about you, but when your body goes into shock and those veins shut down and they try to get a needle in, just doesn't happen. So they gave me a shot of vitamin K. I have no idea why. And then they sent me home. So the following day I'd had more blood tests. Now this is when I don't really play by the rules because I really wanted to go out to dinner with some friends. Now my appetite wasn't the best, but I was hungry. And so I turned off my phone. It was 5 o'clock and I thought, if he's not going to ring today, I'm free for the weekend. So we went to dinner, turned my phone off, and for the first time in over a month, I'd started to relax. And as we pulled out of the restaurant, Sam said, we're in the clear. You don't have to go back to hospital. And I switched my phone on and there were 5 missed calls and my heart just stopped and I burst into tears again. And I started shaking and I just went straight to thinking the worst. And so I made Sam take the calls. I made her listen to the calls. And I still remember her face as we were sitting at that roundabout. And I knew with 5 missed calls from the specialist, I was going to be in hospital. And I also knew the look on Sam's face that it would have to be tonight. It was now 10 o'clock at night. And so I said to her when she got off the phone, I don't want to hear what he said, but I'm going to hospital, aren't I? And she said, yeah, babe, we're going to have to go to hospital. I said, well, I'm not going dressed like this, so you might as well take me home. And I'm going to get some shit. And then we're going back to hospital. So we checked in late on the Friday night. You bet I was scared. I was shaking. My brain just wasn't functioning. And once again, they struggled to put an IV into my arm. What I didn't know was that I was actually in hospital so that they could do a liver biopsy. My blood tests were not coming down and my vitamin K was so low. They were worried that I was going to bleed out if they did the liver biopsy. So they kept dosing me every day on vitamin K and the levels weren't changing. So I ended up staying in hospital for 5 days. And the day of my liver biopsy, Jesus, that was scary. I had no idea what to expect. I definitely didn't want to be sedated, and lucky for me, I didn't have to be sedated. So I went downstairs and Sam wasn't allowed to be in the room with me. So I just put my headphones on. I listened to what he had to say. I followed the rules and I just lay in that bed shaking and more shaking, more panic, more fear. So thank God that was over. And later that afternoon, with a little bit of negotiation with the doctor, I was allowed to go home, finally. So all we had now was a waiting game. Once the results of the liver biopsy were through, I had an appointment with the specialist. I can't actually tell you how I was feeling that day, because when I think back to those months now, I numbed out lots. I didn't want to feel, I just shut down. And anxiety and panic were my best friends at that time. I couldn't comprehend conversations, and I just hung my head down. I did lots of meditation, and I did lots of breathing. I actually don't know what I was expecting from those results. So I sat in the chair, and once again, here I was, opposite the specialist. And he said, so we've figured out. It's pretty much conclusive. You have liver autoimmune. Really? Liver? Autoimmune? Ursh? Same sentence? Not fucking likely. It just didn't make sense. My head was spinning. And he kept talking, and he kept talking. And I just glazed at Sam like, did he seriously just say liver, autoimmune, and me in the same sentence? I was confused. I was dumbfounded. I just didn't comprehend it. All the blood just drained from the top of my head right to the bottom of my feet. I was fucked in that moment. So have you ever had news that's actually taken the wind out of you? Like it physically feels like someone's kicked you in the guts and you're just in shock. Like you can see the lips moving, but you're actually not comprehending that this is a conversation that you're privy to right now and you just disassociate. So if you have, then I totally get it because I've been there and it sucked. It made me feel insignificant. It made me feel like I was watching a movie. And realizing that this was my story meant I had to take ownership. I had to actually answer him. I had to reply. I had to have a conversation with him. But right in that moment, I was feeling fear. I was feeling disbelief. And I was feeling really fucking confused. Are you sure? Was what I said to him. Like, are you sure? I don't even drink. I'm a health professional. Are you sure? So once I came to, I said to him, so what does that mean for me now? And I started getting angry and I could feel my body language getting really mad and I became really aggressive. And I knew that that was just my anxiety. I knew that my warrior was coming to play and I just knew I was going to start attacking this guy. And he said, Ursh, this is pretty serious. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You don't know me. And he said, we need to start you on a dose of steroids straight away. And I looked at Sam and I looked at him. I said, no fucking way. This body is not taking steroids. And he said, look, it is serious. This is something that we can't just wash under the carpet. He said, I need you to understand and I need you to get your head in the game. This is your health on the line. And I turned around and I said to him, give me one reason why you think I need to take steroids. And he looked me straight in the eye. And he said, because if you don't, you're going to die. So I turned around and I said, well, it sounds like a pretty bloody good reason to me. Bring on the steroids. And I left that appointment. And I remember Sam was trying to talk to me on the way back to the car. And I just couldn't comprehend any form of conversation. You see, I went into this appointment and I thought I had Epstein-Barr virus. I'd been my own doctor. And I thought by doing the liver detox, I was going to turn my blood tests around and I was going to get me back. My energy was going to come back. My passion was going to come back. My enthusiasm was going to come back. Everything was going to come back. And yet this doctor had just told me, I now have a liver disease. How do you deal with that? How do you process that? I tell you what I did. As I went back to anxiety, I just stayed in my head. I lived in my head. And what you think about, you bring about. So all I was thinking about was, I now have a liver disease. So that was 10 months ago, and it's been one hell of a journey. I've learned so much about myself. You see, when this journey started for me, I turned 50. And about 3 years ago, people asked me what you were going to do for your 50th. And I said, I'm going to take a year off. And I'm going to go and travel the world and I'm going to find myself. I'm here to tell you, be careful what you ask for, because the universe is always listening and the universe will always deliver. It may not be the exact way that you had it planned, because I believe that the universe has a great sense of humor. I also believe that the universe always has your back. And even though we might not understand the purpose, and we may not think that the timing is right, there's always a bigger picture and there's always a bigger purpose. We just don't understand it at the time. And I believe our biggest obstacles are also our biggest gifts. So today, I share my story with you because for the last 12 months, I've been hiding behind shame because I've been too embarrassed to share my story because I am a health professional and I felt like an imposter. I felt like a fraud. And moving forward, I'm not going to hide me anymore. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to not only fight for me, but I'm going to help fight for other people that are going through the same struggles that I've been through. Because shame loves shadows. And when we keep our shame hidden, we give our power away. And when we light our shame up, we take our power back. And I want to encourage you, no matter where you are on your journey and no matter what's happening in your world right now, to take your power back. You can have control of your life. You can turn your life around. You can make lemonade from lemons. If I can do it, you can do it. I encourage you to be seen. I encourage you to be heard. You have one life. And when you live your best life, that gives everyone around you permission to do exactly the same thing. Now, I've spent 12 months of my life hiding. I don't want you to do the same thing. I'm no longer the person that I was 12 months ago. And it's been a long process for me. It's been a grieving process. And my life will never be the same. And I get that now. I understand that I'm going to be tired. And I understand that my body is teaching me every day that I am number one. And that I need to put me first. And that my needs are important. And that what I do matters. I also get to do what I love every single day. I may not be able to do the same things that I once did, but I've grown in so many areas of my life. I've managed to impact more souls than I ever thought possible. Although the last 12 months has had its biggest challenges for me, it's also enabled me to grow the most I've ever grown in my entire life. And I'm truly grateful and blessed for every opportunity that's happened to me in the past 12 months, because without it, I wouldn't be who I am today. And I know I definitely wouldn't be launching this podcast today had I not have been diagnosed with a liver disease. So I'm celebrating you. If you're still listening 30 minutes in, then I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And in the next podcast, I'm going to share with you the exact steps that I went through that enabled me to get through one of the biggest challenges of my life, because it wasn't easy. And some days still aren't easy. And some days I'm still really scared. And other days I have courage. Some days I have energy and sometimes I don't. Life's changed and that's okay. I want to share with you how my life is better and what I'm doing now that's different to what it was 12 months ago and how every day I wake up grateful for every single moment, every single thing and every single opportunity in my life. So wherever you are right now in your life, wherever you are on your journey, I want you to know that you are not alone. You are never alone. And I want to be able to share with you the tools, the steps that I put into place to help me get through this. So once you've got the tools, you can take your power back. And if you implement these into your life, you will then build more confidence. You will improve your self-esteem and you will really start to love who you are. Because at the end of the day, this is what living is all about. It's about us living our best life, which makes us feel fulfilled, makes us feel happier, and truly appreciate who we are, which then means we're able to show up fully and inspire others to do the same. When we no longer live in fear and hide in shame, we can achieve greatness, and that will bring us joy, confidence, and self-love we truly deserve. After all, isn't that what life is all about? We did it. We did it together. We made it to the end of our first podcast. So I truly hope with all my heart that you will join me on my second podcast, where I will share my success strategies for getting through the really hard shit. So before I forget, we have home play. Oh, it is that kind of show. So I'd love for you to grab your journal or grab a book, and I want you to answer these three questions. Number one, what is your biggest challenge right now? Number two, what is the biggest challenge you have overcome in your life? And number three, what has your biggest challenge taught you? If you would like to share your journaling, I would love to receive it. So please feel free to use the link below and send me your learnings, because what you say matters. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend or share it on the socials, and don't forget to tag me on hashtag MFM, Mind Fitness Mentor. And if nobody's told you today, remember, you are loved, you matter, and you are more than enough. Remember, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. I can't wait to see you then.